home.
प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वाम् अनुसन्तताम् भगवद्गीते तव द्वेषिणी.
Okay, we're starting chapter 3 today.
Chapter
3.
Yeah. What happened to chapter 1? Did we do that?
Yes.
I don't
know. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna uvacha. Jayasi chet karmanaste. Jayasi che karmanaste matha buddhir janardana matha buddhir janardana tatkim karmani ghore mam tatkim karmani ghore mam niyojayasi keshava niyojayasi keshava. Jayasi chet karmanaha te matha buddhihi janardana tat kim karmani ghore mam niyojayasi keshava. Okay. We'll translate this and give you a little introduction to it, but let's look at the verse first. So Arjuna uvacha. Arjunaha uvacha. Arjuna says, okay, Jayasi chait, indeclinable, if. Jayasi means better. You know, there's not the superlative, but the comparative. If the comparative, not the superlative. So he says, if Jayasi better, if karmanaha, fifth case from karma, te, your, mata, means opinion, the buddhihi, knowledge, Janardana, hey Janardana, is named for Krishna. So let's look at that. If knowledge, here buddhihi is knowledge, like buddhi yoga, karma yoga. So if buddhi, and it's feminine, buddhihi, nominative and feminine, if knowledge is thought, mata, to by you, it's genitive, but that te mata, even though it has a genitive sense, means like by you, according to your opinion, for you, if your thinking is that knowledge is jayasi, feminine here, buddhihi jayasi, if knowledge is better than karma. So the fifth case there is going to be than karma, better than karma, using the fifth case. Chait if. So if according to you, te mata, if according to you, or if you believe, if you think, hey Janardana, Krishna, the one who punishes the enemies with their karma, negative karma follows Janardana. If you believe, if according to you, your opinion, is that knowledge or your conviction is that knowledge is superior to karma. Tat kim, then why? Karmani ghore, in this horrible, ghore means terrible, terrible karma of having to fight this war and kill all of his family and friends, in this ghore, in this monstrous, terrible karma, this monstrous activity, karmani ghore, mam, niyojayasi, You impel me. You are asking me to do that. You are pushing me toward that. Why? Why are you pushing me toward this karma, toward doing this karma? If you think that knowledge is better than, if you think that knowledge is better than karma, why would you do this? Yeah. Okay, so far?
Yeah.
Let's do the next verse, because these two are the, this is Arjuna's opening statement, and then I'll talk about it. Vyamishrene vavakyena buddhim mohayasiva me, buddhim mohayasiva me, tarekam varanischitya, tarekam varanischitya, yena shreyoham apnuyam, yena shreyoham apnuyam. Vyamishrena, right? Vyamishrena eva. Vakyena buddhim mohayasi eva me. Tad ekam vada nischitya yena shreyaha aham apnuyam. He says, now Arjuna is still speaking here. He says, by your statement, vakyena, vyamishrena eva, which is self-contradictory, it seems contradictory to me, as though, eva, it seems. So you're by this statement, which seems confusing, contradictory to me, self-contradictory by your statement, it's as though that eva's important there, right? Because he's talking to the Lord. He's not going to accuse him of something. He's going to say, you know, to me, by this statement seems contradictory to me. It seems that way. That's the eva. Buddhim mohayasiva me. By this statement, you are mohayasi eva. You are as though confusing my mind. Buddhim me. My thinking, my buddhi, you know, my understanding is as though, it's as though you are, mohayasi is in the causal. It means you are causing confusion in my mind. You're causing my thinking, my buddhi, my intellect, me buddhim, to become confused. You're as though making me confused by this statement, which is as though self-contradictory. That's how it's being perceived by me. So he's being, because the Lord, Krishna is the Lord from him, it's also Krishna is now his guru, you know. And so he's not going to just say, look at what you are doing. He's saying, all of this, these things that you're saying are not clear what you mean. They seem self-contradictory. And it's as though everything you're saying is just making me confused. That's what he's saying to the Lord there. And so he says, Tad ekam vada, tell, may you tell, imperative, vada, may you tell that one, may, nischitya, indeclinable past participle, nischitya, may you decide which one and tell me that. Mm-hmm. Nischitya means determining, you know, making a clear determination, which is better, the knowledge, getting knowledge, you know, or doing karma. Pick one. Just think it through. This one or that one. Pick one. And speak.
Just tell me what to do.
Tell me what to do. And the one you pick, be clear on that. Nischitya means make a firm decision. And then tell me that one and I'll do that. Right? But for what, he says, yena, that one, tut, ekam, that one, yena, by which. You see the tut, that one, yena, by which. It's a correlative. That one by which shreyaha aham apnuyam. That one by which I will obtain. This is potential. It has a future sense. I will definitely gain shreyas. Shreyas is moksha. Right? Mm-hmm. Tell me that one. Is it going to be karma? Should I do karma? Or should I gain knowledge? Tell me which one. You decide. Whichever one you tell me, I'll do. But now I'm confused. Because it seems like you're telling me to do both of them. or telling me to do karma, it seems like actually you're telling me that knowledge is the direct, is what gives moksha, and at the same time you're telling me to do karma. So what does that mean? Does it mean I'm not, that I'm not an adhikari for knowledge? You know, or I have to do karma and then gain knowledge, or am I supposed to do both of them? What is the relationship between these two? Because you have said that knowledge is the means for shreyas, and now you're telling me to do karma. And so now I feel confused, because what I've asked for is shreyas. See, I've asked you for shreyas, and so I want to remind you of some of these things. At the beginning, just to see the language, Arjuna said, yet shreyaha syat nishchitam bruhitam ne. Listen to the words. That which is definitely shreyas, yet shreyaha syat nishchitam. That which is definitely shreyas. Bruhitam ne. Tell that to me. Right? That which is shreyas means moksha. Right? Shreyas and moksha, think of them as the same. So that which is moksha, clearly, firmly, make me understand that. Tell me that. Then he says, Shishyaste hum. I am your shishya. Right? Shadimam tuam prapannam. I take me as your student. I surrender to you. Accept me as your student. I surrender to you. That's what he says to Krishna. Right at the beginning of verse of the second chapter. And then he also makes it clear in this section. He says things like, I would much rather go to the forest as a sannyasi and live off of bhiksham, right? Live off of bhiksha, than kill my relatives and teachers and then to enjoy a kingdom. You know, dripping with their blood. I would much rather go to the forest. And he had given so many arguments to the Lord about why really he shouldn't fight. You remember in the first chapter he had gone through so many different, given Krishna so many different logics of his own logic, good logic also, you know, as to why he should not fight. And at the end he sits down and says, I'm not going to fight. You know, I'm not going to fight. He just sits there and drops his bow. And then Krishna says, this is before he asked to be his teacher, Krishna, before he asked for moksha, Krishna says, this is very unmanly. This is not how you're supposed to be behaving as a kshatriya. This is not going to get you anywhere. And do you think that the people will respect you? What do you think your enemies will be saying to you when you behave like this? They'll just be laughing. Look, he's running. He's afraid of us. Krishna goes on and on and on, and then he says, finally, no, get up, fight. Get up, Arjuna. You know, be a man. Get up and do your duty. This is what you're supposed to do. And then Arjuna comes back and argues with him, and then says, and gives him a whole nother set of arguments, and then says, please teach me, please give me moksha. I surrender to you. I'm your student. Please accept me as your student. And then Krishna kind of smiles. Gives a little prasanna, he gets a smile on his face, and then he begins teaching him. And the very first 20 verses or so of the Bhagavad Gita, he gives knowledge to Arjuna. The first verses, one's from verse 11 of chapter 2, for about 20 verses, he unfolds the vision. So he gives him Sankhya Yoga, which is jnanam, which is knowledge. And then after he does that, he says, now I've given you buddhi yoga, I've given you jnanam, let me tell you about karma yoga. Okay. And so then, from there he starts. And he goes for several verses teaching him all about karma yoga. And again he says, all right, having told him all of this, he says something like, Arjuna, even if you're killed in this war, even if you're killed, you will have gained swarga. you go right to Swarga. Goes back to kind of the whole kind of the Vedic vision of reality. So if you're killed doing this, you have done your dharma, you'll go right to Swarga. If you win, then you'll enjoy the kingdom. Therefore, hey Kauteya, this name for Arjuna, he says, Uttishta, get up. Get up and fight. Yudhaya Kritanischaya. He says, get up and then make a resolve. He says, Kritanischaya is make a resolve to fight. So he's not letting him at this point. He's given him knowledge now. He's already taught him. Then he teaches him karma yoga, and then he says, now go back and fight. And then he again goes back to teaching him karma yoga, and he says, being the same in sukha and dukkha, right? And being the same in victory and defeat, and in what you gain and don't gain, fight with that way. Keeping that in your mind, fight in that way. And naivam papam avapsisi, he says, in that way you'll not gain any dukkha, any sin by doing that. And so now again, he goes back to teaching him karma yoga. And then he goes on to say, he again, as he's teaching him karma yoga, he again says to him, keeping your mind in this yoga, kuru karmani, may you do karma. He says, you do the karma. Keeping this in your mind, you do karma. Okay. Being the same in victory and defeat and accomplishing and not accomplishing, you do karma. And that's that Samyutpa yoga, you practice that. And so then Arjuna brings in now, well, because he's confused, he hasn't understood this. I'll tell you why he hasn't understood it in a minute. But he says, all right, then please, he's listening to all of this, and he says, well, could you just tell me, you know, who is the Mahatma? Who is the Jnani? What is he like? What does he walk? How does he walk? How does he talk? What is that person like? Who is that person? But he's thinking in his mind, that's who I want to be. It's like telling Arjuna, telling to Krishna, this is who I want to be. I want to be a Mahatma. I want to be somebody who has Jnana Nishta. This is my resolve now. My resolve is not to do karma. My resolve is to gain knowledge. I want to study. This is what I do. I want to learn. I want to study. I don't want to do karma. I want to gain knowledge now. This knowledge that you're telling me, this is what I want to do. So he tells you, tell me. So he asks to Krishna, you tell me. What is that person? What is that person like? Who is the person that actually gains knowledge? So he goes through all of this. And Krishna goes through telling him all of these things, what it is, what he's like, how he walks, how he talks, but really he talks about it to him only in terms of knowledge, you know. What is the attitude of that person? What is the knowledge that that person holds? He goes through the whole thing, just telling him that. And then and then in the very last verse, he says to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, this brought, having explained only when he was asked, who is the one who has knowledge? Who is the one who's a sthitaprajna? After going through all of this, he says, it is this person alone, you know, who has this brahmi-sthiti. This is the one who abides in Brahman. And so after having spent all of the second chapter explaining this, I think what happened with Arjuna is that Krishna was using terms like sannyasa, sankhya yoga, buddhi yoga, karma, but there were terms that are continually being used, the term sannyasa and karma, right? And sannyasa and karma have two very definite meanings in the culture. And this really, really threw Arjuna off. The meanings are this. In the four ashramas in India, there's four ashramas. There's a brahmacharya ashrama where your duty in that ashrama is to study. There are certain duties that are expected of you, but it all is around your study. In the grihastha ashrama, that's when you're married, you have children, you make your living, your home. There are rituals and karmas that are expected of you. So now here, in the brahmacharya ashrama, and in the grihastha ashrama, and then the vanaprastha ashrama, where then you kind of retire to the woods, to the edge of the woods, and live as brother and sister. But in these three ashramas, there are karmas that are enjoined upon you. Karmas means your due duties, actual rituals, actual responsibilities that you are supposed to do. They're enjoined upon you, and it's your dharma to do them. And for Arjuna, as a kshatriya, who was also a grihastha, and as a kshatriya now, you know, doing his duty and fighting this war, these karmas were enjoined upon him to do. It was his duty. If he were to go into the fourth ashrama, the sannyasa ashrama, he would then do a ritual which would absolve him of all of these responsibilities. So, when he's thinking, you're telling me to do karma, you know, and yet you're telling me that it's through sannyasa that I gain knowledge. And with karma, when he thinks of karma, or in Hinduism, in India, when we think of karma, we're thinking of the rituals that are enjoined upon a person to do, the duties that are enjoined that will take you to Swargaloka, that will stop you from accruing papa, that will give you punya and all of this. These are what the karmas are for. They will result in punya and papa. And so that is exactly what these karmas are meant to do. And in fact, in the second chapter, Krishna talks on and on about the Vedas and the flowery words of the Vedas, and that actually all these flowery words of the Vedas, all of these things that are enjoined, they will only get you as far as Swargaloka, from which you'll return. And so he's actually talking about karma in a derogatory way in terms of it not leading to moksha. So he has several verses on that. It's not going to lead to moksha at all. So he's discussing this, telling Arjuna all of this. And so Arjuna while he's telling them, yes, and I shouldn't be doing these karmas. I shouldn't do the karma. I should be going only to the sannyasa. Because what I want is moksha. I don't want these karmas. I don't want to do that. And so, at the same time, he's talking about thinking of sannyasa as taking the orange. So we're talking about two completely different lifestyles, and that's what he's thinking. Should I stay in this lifestyle, you know, where I'm doing my karmas and doing my duties and gaining punya, okay? Or should I become a sannyasi, which then will allow me to gain knowledge? This is his thinking. Through karma, I can gain punya. And not doing the karma, I'll gain papa. That's what karma is for. And sannyasa, if I lead the sannyasa life, that will lead to knowledge. Karma leads to punya, papa, dharma, adharma. Sannyasa, that lifestyle, leads to moksha. That's what he's seeing. And now he says, if that's how it is and how I have understood, and I've told you that I want moksha, why are you telling me to continue living a life of karma? Because the fruit of karma is punya and papa, dharma, adharma, swargaloka. What's wrong with me? Or are you just confusing me or testing me? It's what I don't understand. I don't understand what you're talking about. How can it be? And so two things. What's happening here? So I want to go about this. there's karma, the karmi, and karma yoga. The karma, the karmi, when we say karmi, the one who is a karmi, is the one who is doing karma for punya, to avoid papa, for dharma, to avoid adharma. That person is a samsari. Okay, so the karmi is a samsari. The karma yogi is a person who is using the karmas that are their responsibilities in order to neutralize their likes and dislikes. So the karma yogi, and this is where Arjuna's confusion is, the karma yogi is not a karmi. Now, hold that for a minute. For sannyasa also, there are two ways of looking at it. There's the taking of the orange, which is taking sannyasa as one of the ashramas. And in the taking of sannyasa, you give up, through ritual, all of the responsibilities and the karmas that have been enjoined on you by the given ashrama or stage of life that you're in. By taking the sannyasa, you give up all of those responsibilities completely. And that allows you to spend a life where you're free to study. You don't have all these other things to do. It's just a life of study. In fact, the life of a sannyasi is a life of contemplation, a life of study, a life of teaching. That's what it is. Either contemplation, teaching, study. That's the life of a sannyasi. They've given up all of their responsibilities. And so giving up those responsibilities, they're free just to focus on knowledge and study. But that's a particular lifestyle. So now we have this lifestyle and the lifestyle of doing, being, and having the karmas enjoined upon you. The one who takes to the sannyasa, the one who takes to the sannyasa does not necessarily gain what we call sarvakarma sannyasa, which is the real sannyasa. The real sannyasa means the absolute perfect renunciation, is equivalent to jnanam, to atmajnanam, which is recognizing that myself is not a doer, that myself is what we call naishkarmya, free from action, that the atma is free from action. But that's the sannyasa. That's the what we call jnanakarma sannyasa, the renunciation of all karma through knowledge. Because in reality, there is no possibility, as long as there's kartritvam, as long as there's doership there, there's no possibility of renouncing action. You can't get rid of the action. You can't get rid of the action of your body. You can't get rid of the action of your breath. You can't get rid of the action of your mind. You can't get rid of movement. You can't get rid of the ahankara, the doer itself. To get rid of karma, you have to get rid of the karmi, the one who's a doer. Even the person who's sitting still is performing the act of sitting still, right? Because there's a possibility of moving, right? Because you have to have a resolve. Let me sit still. Let me not do anything. That doing something requires a lot of muscle tone to keep yourself in one position. There's no such thing as being a sannyasi, a karma sannyasi, somebody who's given up, renounced karma. Because sannyasa is the renunciation of karma. It's a lifestyle. It means all of the duties that were enjoined on you, all of the karmas that were expected of you, through ritual you absolve yourself of those responsibilities. So you take to the lifestyle of sannyasa, but you take to the lifestyle of sannyasa, having renounced those karmas, so that you can gain naishkarmya, the state of being free from karma. The state of being free from karma is the recognition of the atma, of the self as being free from karma. So sarva karma sannyasa is something which is accomplished through knowledge, not through ritual. So the sannyasi gives up the rituals, but doesn't become a sarva karma. Sarva means all. So sarva karma sannyasi, the one who gives up the rituals, doesn't become a sarva karma sannyasi, because to become that, you need knowledge to recognize that I am free from all action. Okay. So this is the confusion that needs to be straightened out, and that Krishna is going to spend this chapter, much of this chapter, straightening out, in fact. So here, what the whole Gita, what circles around in the entire Gita is this particular theme. Krishna says it is far better to stay in the world, doing your duties, doing karmas, acting out acting out your duties in the world with a karma yoga buddhi, with an attitude that allows for the neutralization of raga dvesha, of likes and dislikes. That samatva buddhi, that prasada buddhi, which he taught very clearly in this chapter, prasada buddhi, samatva buddhi, kaushalyam, that samatva buddhi is being able to have a buddhi that remains the same in positive and negative circumstances, that takes everything as prasad from the Lord, that has a good understanding of dharma and adharma, so that you have control over the choices that you make, that there's some wisdom involved in the choices that you make, and you're taking everything as prasada buddhi. When that becomes primary, when that karma yoga buddhi becomes primary, there's a neutralization of one's likes and dislikes. But even then, before Krishna teaches Arjuna karma yoga, he gives him knowledge. Right? The karma yoga buddhi, and in joining you to stay in the world, is as a mumukshu, as one who is seeking, as one who wants to gain knowledge, stay in the world with this attitude in order to neutralize your likes and dislikes, right? So that the mind becomes really an adhikari for this knowledge and an adhikari for taking sannyasa. Later he'll say, if you just go and take sannyasa so that you can sit and study and just have your mind sit, this is just too hard on me, this life and all of these things, that all of these duties and all of these things that I have to, it's just upsetting and it's just bothering me, and it'd be so much easier if I could just escape.
Yeah.
Let me just get out of this, escape. Let me go to the forest, sit quietly, right, and study. The problem is your mind. You know, somebody just a little aside. I had to go to the school today, and I saw this book by Eckhart Tolle. It's his new book. I haven't read his books, but I know quite a bit about them from what my students there told me. So this one student had this book, and I said, oh, you're reading this book, how do you like it? And he was telling me, I really like it, and blah, 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 he was talking about it. And then he said one thing really funny, he said, you know, he was talking about enlightenment, and these people were thinking that they were enlightened. And so he made a kind of a joke. He said, if you think you're enlightened, if you really think you're enlightened, you know, why don't you just go home to your parents for a few days? I thought that was so funny. But, you know, that's the truth of it. He was using the example of you know how he meant. But the idea is this. That's that samatva buddhi. You know, can you be anywhere? Can you be anywhere? And your knowledge is firm. Can you be anywhere and your mind is at peace? It has shanti. Can you be anywhere? If you can't be anywhere, then you're samsari. Right? Because then, if you can't be anywhere, then what that means is that you have to manipulate your situation. Right? You have to create this little cocoon for yourself so that you can have the shanti. That's samsara. That's what we all do all the time. We try always manipulating the world to create a nice little situation for ourselves where we can have some shanti, you know. Or we ask our partner or our friends or our employers, just, you know, please, just treat me like this, you know. Treat me in this way, and then I will be happy, you know. We might not overtly say it, but we're always working for it, you know. So, you know, that is samsara. Now, say if you become drastic, like Arjuna is in a terrible situation, right? He couldn't be worse, his situation. Couldn't be worse. And he tells that to Krishna, you're making me do this horrible, horrible thing. Huh? I'd be very happy to just let me take sannyasa. Let me take sannyasa, relieve me of all of this. And let me just go to the forest and just study. You know, just study. And then he tells Krishna, You know, I did spend 12 years in the forest. You know, I spent, before I had to do this war, because Duryodhana and his group had made them all go to the forest and just live like sadhus without anything, you know, for all of those years. So I can do it. I can do it. I did well. But yes, you did well all of the time, planning on coming back, you know, gaining the kingdom and getting rid of Duryodhana. You had an intent. You had a purpose. Now here, you go to the forest. Right? The only thing you have to do is sit there. Sit there, study, and meditate. There's nothing else. You've given up everything else. In fact, you can't go back because you've taken sannyasa. You can't just decide, oh, that was a mistake. Let me put my clothes back on and go back. No, when you take it, that's it. You've taken the sannyasa. And so then what happens, if these raga dveshas haven't been neutralized, if you can't be a sannyasi right here in the middle of it, if you can't be studying right here in the middle of all of this with shanti, you know, then what you'll find is when you're in the forest, you won't feel like studying. You'll be wondering what to do. And what should I do like this? And this isn't correct, and this isn't right. Yeah. And yet, you won't have the field to really neutralize your likes and dislikes. And so Krishna goes into a lot of depth about this. That is why it's better. It's better as a jnani, means a mumukshu, as somebody who is studying, as somebody who is gaining knowledge. You stay in this field until you are a jnani. And then really, until you are a jnani, and then you are a sannyasi, and then you take sannyasa. You're a sannyasi because you have knowledge. You realize, I'm akarta, asangoham. You realize who you are. And then you take sannyasa, and you live in the forest, or live alone, and you just contemplate and teach and live a life, the life of a sannyasi. You do that then. Now what he says, it's a more detail, to give you a little more detail. Really with sannyasa, there are three types of sannyasa, three reasons why a person takes sannyasa. One is, that I've just explained, is called vidvat sannyasa. Vidvat sannyasa is this. When you gain knowledge, once your knowledge is complete, then this is in honor of that knowledge. You actually take sannyasa. You are a jnani. You have sarvakarma sannyasa because you recognize the sangoham. You recognize that yourself, who you are. And then having knowledge, vidvat, means one who has knowledge. One who has knowledge takes sannyasa. That's one kind. Another kind is called apat sannyasa. Apat sannyasa is also when a person is on their deathbed. They're terminally ill on their deathbed. At that time, they will often take sannyasa. It's called apat sannyasa. It's at the final stage of their life. And they take it because there's supposed to be, just in the tradition, that in that ritual itself, there's tremendous punya. In the taking of that, taking sannyasa itself, in the ritual, there's tremendous punya, and there's a wiping away of all of the karmas that have gone before. And so people on their deathbed will often take apat sannyasa. In fact, in my life with Swamiji, I've seen him give apat sannyasa. Not that I've watched him, I've just known that he's gone to give that on several different occasions, even to some people that I knew that were passing on. He went and gave apat sannyasa. Once he gave apat sannyasa over the phone to somebody, yeah, who was on their deathbed. It's somebody who was very close to him, you know, Ganesha, who's been on for many years. He gave apat sannyasa. Because, and it's very common actually, there's a great punya in doing that. So that's some deathbed sannyasa. But then there's the third, which is common. It's called vividisha sannyasa, as opposed to vidva. Vividisha sannyasa is the sannyasa with the taking sannyasa with a desire to gain knowledge. Vividisha means the desire to get to know, the desire to know. Like mumukshu is the desire, mumuksha is the desire to be liberated. Jignyasa is the desire to know. Vividisha, the desiderata. Do you have it in Sanskrit? Students haven't learned it yet. Vividisha, the desire to know. So you take sannyasa with the desire to know. So now, that vividisha sannyasa, and between the vividisha sannyasa and the karma yoga is preferable. Unless the person who takes the vividisha sannyasa, they don't have knowledge, neither one has knowledge, they're both mumukshus. Right? But for the one, the karma yogi, they're staying in the field and they're working out their raga dveshas. If there's still raga dveshas in the mind, if there's still some lack of vairagya, there's things I need to do, things that I want to do. For that person, karma yoga is much preferable because you're not thwarting yourself. You're doing all of those activities, but with a karma yoga buddhi. If that person takes the vividisha sannyasa, then they're working against themselves, right? Because there's still raga dvesha, the likes and likes, dislikes are there. There's still things that need to be done that you want to do. And yet you're renouncing those, thinking that your thought, I renounce these, will do the job. It's not enough to do the job, right? That raga dveshas have to be neutralized over time through proper attitude. You can't say, no, I'll just take sannyasa and that will get rid of them. See what I mean? Like if you say, you know, I have all these raga dveshas, but if I just do this ritual of sannyasa and put on the orange, that'll take care of that. That's what people think. And that's why Krishna says, no, that won't work at all. If you do that, you're going to be a frustrated sadhu. He has even a verse for it. Sitting under the tree, in meditation, you'll be thinking about all of the money you could be making. Or what's happened, I wonder what my wife is doing with all of that money. Yeah. If it's a woman, she'll be sitting at home wondering what he's doing. So when but Krishna is using it as a sannyasi, goes away, sitting under the tree thinking, you know, what is she doing? Where is my money? What is happening to my business? That's the meditation. That's not, you're working against yourself. So that's why he says, you know, for the mumukshu, you're both gaining knowledge. But until the raga dveshas are neutralized, right? Until that time, you stay in the world. When those raga dveshas are neutralized and there's nothing more here to be done, that you have nothing to be gained, you have no sense of that there's something to be gained, then, even if it's still vividisha, even you still, your knowledge isn't clear, but then take sannyasa. Because your raga dveshas are neutralized, there's nothing more that you feel to do here, all you want to do is study. You see what I'm saying? Then vividisha sannyasa is fine. But you have to get to that point to take the vividisha sannyasa in order for that to be meaningful. It's not that you just say, I'm going to take vividisha sannyasa so that I will be that way. You take vividisha sannyasa because you are that way. If it's so that I can be that way, then the best field is here. The best field is here to neutralize all the raga dveshas. And in either case, in both cases, whether your karma yoga or sannyasa, lifestyle, in either case, you're gaining knowledge. But what's important is, in either case, you're gaining knowledge, but in what context allows for antakarana shuddhi, the purity of mind? What is the context that allows for that? And that's the karma yoga. So here, just to go over this, if you look at verse 1 and 2, just to repeat into English, Arjuna asks him this question. Hey Janardana, if you consider knowledge to be superior to karma, right, then why do you ask me, why are you pushing me to do these karmas. Why are you pushing me toward the karma? He says, by your statement seems to have self-contradictory, and it's confusing. It's as though causing me to be confused. Can you just tell me, pick one, be clear on one, and tell me which one will take me to Shreyas. Okay. So then in verse 3, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Lokesmin Dvividha Nishta, Lokesmin Dvividha Nishta, Pura Prokta Mayanaka, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. He says, so Bhagavan answers him now. He says, in this world, Loke Asmin, Dvivida Nishta, Pura Prokta, Maya Anaga. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Is Loke Asmin, in this world, Dvivida Nishta, a twofold path. Nishta here means committed lifestyle. The Nishta means there's a twofold Nishta, ways of being. So we call it committed lifestyle. Twofold. Dvivida, two types. Pura, formerly, Prokta, was taught by Nishta's feminine. Right? There's a twofold Nishta, twofold commitment, Pura, formerly, Prokta, was taught, Maya, by me. Hey, Anaga. He's addressing Arjuna as sinless one, the one who has no papa. Means, he's telling him, you are a mumukshu. You are fine. You are qualified for this knowledge. You have done nothing wrong. So, hey, Anaga. But formerly, it taught, formerly means when? In the Vedas, because Krishna is speaking as Ishvara. Most of the time in this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks as Ishvara, as the Lord. So here he says, formerly means when? With the Vedas, in the Vedas, I have given a twofold nishta, twofold type of commitment, two ways, okay? Jnana yogena, by the path of jnana, being committed to jnana, to knowledge, for the sankhya, sankhyas are the sannyasis, though being total commitment to jnana, so jnana yoga for the sankhyas, and karma yoga for the yoginams. For the yogis are all of the karmis. The ones who have the sankhyas are the sannyasis. Okay? Everybody else are the karmis. They're the ones who are going to do karma yoga. Okay? So there's, if you're in the ashramas, in the four ashramas, the first three, there's karma involved. Sannyasa, no. So you're either going to be the sankhyas or the sannyasis or everybody else. Everybody else means you're committed to karma. Committed to karma, you have certain responsibilities, certain duties. So for those people, it's going to be karma yoga. Okay? So for the yogis, for the ones who have karma, are enjoined to do karma, right? That's one nishta. Their other nishta is only for the sannyasis. So there's these two types of lifestyles. And he really means now those who are still committed to karma and those who have taken sannyasa. Okay? These are the two that are available to people. The first three ashramas, the karmis, that you have duties and rituals and responsibilities that you have to do. Sannyasa, no. You give up all of those, and then those people, it's just a meditative life and study. I've given these two. Let's do this next verse because I've already covered all of this, so I want to cover it in the verse. So now understand, he says there are these two lifestyles, sannyasa and then everybody else who has karma, enjoying to do karma. Nakaramanam anarambhat.
Nekaranmanam anarambhat Naishkaramyam purushoshnute Naishkaramyam purushoshnute Nacha sanyasana deva Nacha sanyasana deva Siddhim samadhi gacchati Siddhim samadhi gacchati.
He says, Na karmanam anarambhat Naishkaramyam purushaha ashnute Nacha sanyasanat eva Siddhim samadhigacchati. One word, samadhigacchati. He says, not karmanam anarambhat. From the not doing of karma, anarambhat. Arambha means to begin, to be engaged in something. Anarambhat, from not being engaged in karma. So from the not beginning of karma. In English we just say from not doing karma, from not engaging in karma, what? Naishkaramyam purushaha ashnute. A person, purushaha na ashnute, does not gain naishkaramyam. From not doing karma, a person doesn't gain naishkaramyam, the state of being free from action. There is no possibility as a human being that you can give up action. Right? So as long as you have a body, you will be engaged in action. So there's no possibility of sarva karma sannyasa, right? From not doing action, from giving up your karmas. Say you renounce all your karmas. There's no way you can become actionless by renouncing all your karmas. That's the first one. Then he says, Nacha sannyasanat eva siddhim sam adigachati. Nor, sam adigachati, does one gain siddhim, the result that you're seeking. The siddhi is when all of the sadhanas that you do are to accomplish something. So this thing that you want to accomplish here is moksha. The siddhi is moksha, right? Because that's what you're aiming at. So nacha nor can one gain that siddhi from sannyasa. It's not so from sannyasa alone, sannyasanat eva. Okay? You can't gain from giving up karma, you can't gain the state of being actionless, nor from taking sannyasa can you gain the accomplishment of moksha, which you want to gain. This you have to be very clear on, right? Because otherwise you can think, well, if I just take sannyasa, is this what you think? You'll take sannyasa, you'll take the orange, and that will be enough to give you moksha. Or you give up doing the karmas, all of your rituals, and then you'll become actionless. Become free from action then. But this isn't the freedom from action that we're talking about. In fact, there is no such thing as freedom from action from the standpoint of the body, the mind, the sense organs, the ahankara. Anything to do with the upadhi is bound by action. So becoming actionless, there's nothing you can do. Right? And who's doing? You have to give up the doer. To become naishkarmian, the state of actionlessness, is to recognize I am actionless. I am actionless. I am free from action. Who is free from action? Not the body, not the mind, not the sense organs. There's nothing about the upadis, any upadi or anything in the creation that is free from action. And so there is no possibility of giving up any particular action or any group of actions to make you actionless. For one thing, the doer is going, how are you going to give up the doer? The one who's giving up the actions, how are you going to give up that one? That's the problem. Right? And that one is limited. It belongs to the upadhi. That one is associated with the upadhi. And so, from giving up your karmas, it's not possible to become actionless. And then from sannyasa alone, you're not going to be able... Sannyasa means taking the robes. Taking those vows. Thus giving up all of these duties and karmas. That's not going to give you that state of actionlessness. which is not a state. It's not going to give you yourself. The only way to gain that is through knowledge. You know? And then we have to see, okay, as you'll go on now, these are the only verses we're going to do today. But, okay, you have to gain knowledge. But that's something else. Right? The knowledge is going to be taking place for you, whether you are a karma yogi or a sannyasi. If you're not a karma yogi and you're a karmi, then you're not a mumukshu. Then you're not an adhikari for this. You're after samsara. But if you're an adhikari, if you're a mumukshu, somebody who is a seeker, somebody who wants to gain this knowledge, then karma yoga and sannyasa come into play. But don't think that by taking sannyasa, that means that you'll gain knowledge. No. Don't think that by giving up actions, you'll become actionless, free from action. It's not possible. In the next verse he says, there is no moment, there is not even one moment that's free from action. So this type of activity is not going to free you of the activity. Right? There's no action that can free you from this action. The only thing that can free you from it is knowledge. So now it's a matter of what do you need while you're gaining this knowledge to free yourself of the raga dveshas and the obstructions that get in the way. Okay. So that's the first four verses. He goes more, goes on and on about this, so it's become very clear. Time again. Let's take a minute. Om Purnamada Purnamada Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.